nations under the convention, becoming the ninth state party to do so. But there are a number of challenges that today requires the attention of the convention's community. First and foremost, these deadly weapons that kill and maim indiscriminately continue to be produced, transferred and used, for example, in the armed conflict between Russia and Ukraine or in Syria and in Yemen, among others. Cluster munitions are not an abstract or theoretical threat. They are a quantifiable, heartbreaking calamity. Civilians account for the vast majority of the casualties by cluster munitions attacks and their remnants, as high as 93%, according to the latest cluster munition monitoring report. Children account for almost half of all the victims. Each case represents a life, a family, a community forever impacted. A second concern is the stalling rate of accession to this convention that has such important and clear humanitarian goals. Now is the time to question why only two states have joined the convention since 2020 and what further steps you can take towards universal adherence. A third challenge is that a state party has initiated what would be a first ever and highly regrettable withdrawal from the convention. None of these challenges are isolated nor disconnected from each other. The third and latter challenge in particular is a deeply worrying manifestation of the idea that international humanitarian law treaties, such as this convention, would be instruments to be adopted in time of peace and stability, but abandoned when confronted with an elevated security threat or outbreak of an armed conflict, precisely when IHL applies. Such a notion is fundamentally at odds with the very concept of international humanitarian law. You will hear later during this meeting a joint statement of the components of our movement, the international movement of the Red Cross and Red Crescent, on the topic. All the reasons that has led the negotiations and adoption of the convention remain valid today. The appalling humanitarian cost of cluster munition is not diminished by a changing security environment. Madam President, ladies and gentlemen, the meeting of state parties is a moment for reflection, but also for action, for you all to determine the course of our future. You can do so first by not allowing international humanitarian law to unravel a body of law built over decades on the bitter and horrifying experience of preceding wars. Second, you can do so by reinforcing the stigma associated with cluster munitions and denouncing any conduct that departs from the humanitarian norms of the convention, including by unequivocally condemning any use of cluster munition by anyone, anywhere. Finally, you can do so by calling on and engaging with all states not yet parties to the convention to join and fully adhere to its provision without delay. Maintaining and strengthening IHL is a collective responsibility of all states. It serves the interests of every state as well as of humanity as a whole. It must be a political priority, especially so in times of greater polarization, insecurity, and increasing armed conflicts. 16 years ago, as we hailed the adoption of the convention in Oslo, the then ICRC president said, and I quote, "The road to Oslo does not end in Oslo. It ends when the use of these weapons has ceased, when stockpiles are eliminated, when contaminated areas have been cleared, and when victims have been helped to rebuild their lives," end of quote. Today, we must collectively mobilize to this end. You must reaffirm that commitment and safeguard international humanitarian law for the sake of humanity. I wish you a productive meeting. Thank you very much.